thing.
So we went to Ready.gov and got free checklists, templates, and more to be prepared. Thanks to Ready.gov, we worry less about keeping Rizzo and Sons in business.
Only it should be Rizzo and Grandsons.
And granddaughter.
Right.
Go to Ready.gov for details on creating an emergency preparedness plan. Becoming a success is hard work. Protecting it isn't. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Ad Council, and this station.
We inherited this business from our father.
Who got it from his father?
We needed an emergency preparedness plan in case of fire, cyber attack,
or anything.
So we went to Ready.gov and got free checklists, templates, and more to be prepared. Thanks to Ready.gov, we worry less about keeping Rizzo and Sons in business.
Only it should be Rizzo and Grandsons.
And granddaughter.
Right.
Go to Ready.gov for details on creating an emergency preparedness plan. Becoming a success is hard work. Protecting it isn't. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Ad Council, and this station.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Arnwine, platforms by host Barbara Arnwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh, do we have a good show for you today? Because we're going to help break down what's been going on with that Supreme Court. I know everybody is upset, worried. How in the world did they issue these decisions? We're going to go through three of the decisions today. We know there were more that came out today. Also, some horrible decisions, and we will just briefly take note of those, but we're going to go deep into three cases that you must be wondering about. That Trump immunity case, what does it mean? What's this? You keep hearing about some Chevron doctrine deference case. What does that mean, that they stopped it, that they ended it, said no more to it? You've heard about the cold-hearted, vicious, just rootless decision in the homeless criminalization case. You're going to hear a lot about all these cases. You're going to hear from legal experts. You're going to hear from advocates who work for the homeless. And you're going to hear from a homeless advocate herself who is homeless and has been working all over the country to try to address this issue. So you got a lot coming up. You tell everybody you know, text them right now, tell them to go to Igniting Change. And, oh, you know, I got to bring up my mighty, absolutely brilliant, creative genius, the chair of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Daryl D. Jones, Esquire. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time because, my goodness, Barbara, we're talking about igniting change. Woo-hoo. Barbara, we've got to be careful. You know, the last time we were talking about democracy at the cliffs. Well,
yes.
I'll be daggone if this Supreme Court ain't trying to push us off the cliff.
And
my goodness, the decisions that they have come out with, and they've held it until the last day of the Supreme Court session, it is just astounding what this court has done. Barbara, as people listen to our guests and listen to this show, if they walk away with nothing else, walk away with the commitment to saying, I need to vote because I need to make a difference on the Supreme Court and in this country.
Wow, absolutely. And I want everyone to really take that message to heart. I mean, if you are still running around licking wounds, fussing about Biden's performance, you know, we're nonpartisan and all of that. But I just want to remind folks of one important thing. Go back and look at 1992, who lost his first debate bad. I mean, it wasn't even close. Y'all talking about Biden, heck, he was less than 20% people liked him. And he went on to become president twice. So I want people to really think about, you know, the William Clinton story. And there's so many other. Don't forget, John Kerry won all three of his debates and never became president. Debates don't tell you anything about a person's ability to govern. It tries to give you a sense of people. Are they decent people? Do they have an agenda? That's all they really can do, and let you poke some, you know, some funds and holes into your opponent. But I just want folks, you know, I've been listening to some absolute nonsense, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And I just want to remind you that when you become president, you don't go around debating. Nobody is asking you to debate nothing. So it is just ridiculous, Daryl, that people have been so absolutely obsessed with this issue. But I want to come back to our show today, and I just want to make sure that people heard something from us, you know, on that question, because it's so dominant right now. Daryl, did you have anything to say?
Well, you know, Barbara, you're absolutely on point. You know, as a former elected official, I can tell you that, you know, debates don't define the candidacy. Debates don't define the policy. And what people have got to remember, and you're right, there are a lot of people that were ready to jump off the bridge, right?
After the
performance. And then sometimes, you know, you've got to remind people that, you know, if you are a Biden supporter, then you should remember that it was Joe Biden that rescued the second term of Barack Obama after a very poor debate performance by Barack Obama. It was Joe Biden who came in on that vice presidential debate and put spirit back into that campaign. So don't define anything by certainly one debate, Barbara. And most importantly, I think the Supreme Court now has really laid down the gauntlet to tell you, if you want change in America, you go and vote in people that are going to make the change happen that you want to see in place, Barbara.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us then to our first amazing guest. We are so blessed to have four excellent guests today. And we, you know, want to, you know, introduce all four of our guests real quickly. Then I'm going to go straight into some questions for attorney Lisa Graves. So let me start first by introducing Will Knight. Will Knight is the decriminalization director at the National Homelessness Law Center. He is amazing, and we are so glad that he can be with us today. He's not going to be able to stay with us for long, but we're glad that he's able to be here. Will, are you on?
I am. Thank you for having me today.
And Will, thank you so much for the amazing work you do. And I'm going to invite you to give some of your perspectives as we talk about, you know, Trump immunity, but I'm just so grateful for the work that you do every day. We're also happy to have with us again, returning guest. Oh, he's amazing. We're so happy that Donald Whitehead is with us. Hey, Donald.
Hey, Barbara, how are you today?
Oh, I mean, you are the executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless, and you have been a busy man over the last couple of days, and we'll talk about that, you know, later in the show. But I just wanted people to know that you were on. We also are so delighted to have with us the mighty Maggie G. Maggie, you are amazing. You, while you are experiencing homelessness, you have been out everywhere helping to advocate for justice for homeless people. You've advocated all over the country. You've worked, you know, to help other homeless people to get housing, transportation. You have, you know, been homeless since 2019. And when the rent tripled in Oregon, And then you became act that led to your activation. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're going to come back to you later in the show to talk more about your personal journey and this fight, because it's not just ideology, people. It's not just what people think. It's what happens on the ground, how the Supreme Court actions impact real people. Hi, Maggie G.
Hi there.
Welcome. Hi there. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. Can't wait to talk with you more. I'm going to start off with Lisa Graves so that we can get straight into this Trump immunity decision. Then we're going to go straight into the Chevron case for a few seconds. And then we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about this horrible Grant Pass versus Johnson case. So let us start with you, Lisa. You know, Lisa Graves, everybody, Attorney Graves, is the host of Grave Injustice. Uh-oh, the new podcast from the Courier News and Court and Accountability about the out of control. Is that what we're going to call them, out of control Supreme Court?
Yep.
I think they're just darn rogue. They're rogue all the way, corrupted rogue. Graves is one of the nation's foremost experts on how right-wing special interests have captured the U.S. Supreme Court. She previously served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legal Policy at the Justice Department. She was chief counsel enough for nominations for the Senate Judiciary Committee's chair. She's been a deputy chief of Articles III Judges Division of the Administrative Courts of the United States Courts. And in other posts, she leads True North Research, the sister research arm of Court Accountability. Welcome on your inaugural appearance here at good old Igniting Change.
Barbara, I am just thrilled and honored to be on Igniting Change. Thank you so much for inviting me. And it's just an honor to be here with you and Daryl and your guests. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. Now, we've been waiting for a decision in this Trump case. You know, let's start, you know, on this Trump immunity case. Before we talk about the substance of the decision, please explain to our audience why the timing of this decision is so suspect.
Yes, I really appreciate that question. This is the case where in the District of Columbia, the special prosecutor Jack Smith with a grand jury won an indictment of Donald Trump for his role in the violent January 6th insurrection and in trying to overturn and overthrow the vote to the American people in the 2020 presidential election. And this is a case that was set to go to trial this spring and have that trial conclude with a verdict one way or the other of Trump being guilty of these crimes or found not guilty before this presidential election. And so last year, Jack Smith basically sought review to make sure that the case would not get derailed, would not get slowed down. The court declined to take the case up. It waited until the eve of trial and then accepted the Trump team's efforts to get the case to the Supreme Court. This was after the D.C. Circuit, the appellate court, actually ruled that Trump's claims of immunity, of absolute immunity, were contrary to all of the legal precedents we've really ever had in this country, that it was an extreme claim of absolute immunity, that it was inappropriate and incompatible with our Constitution. But suddenly, the Supreme Court, instead of just letting that ruling stand, decided to take that case, and then it set it for the latest oral argument, meaning it pushed off the argument in the case, and then it held the decision until the very last decision it issued this term, which was yesterday. And so all of this delay was already a benefit to Trump. The court's intervention, the court's slow walking, the rulings, all of this already meant that it would be very hard to bring Trump to trial before the election. And the reason that's important is because it shows, in my view, the partisan nature of this extreme faction on the U.S. Supreme Court to sort of put its thumb on the scale of justice to not to intervene in the first place and do what it did yesterday, ultimately, but to slow down that trial. And I say that because, as I'm sure your listeners know, earlier this year, the state of Colorado, citing the Constitution's clause that expressly bars people who engage in insurrection from running for office, the state of Colorado, a trial court, and the state Supreme Court had ruled that Trump could not be on the ballot in Colorado. But boy, did the U.S. Supreme